music of Dr. Deborah Stroman, UNC faculty member, University of Virginia professor, former coach, former player, sports businesswoman extraordinaire, and host of If You Only Knew right here on 97.9 The Hill. She joins me each week to talk about the latest storylines happening in sports and their intersection with business and the rest of our lives. Happy Friday, Deb. How are you?
I am doing well. I like the cooler weather, and again, it's been so crazy, I wouldn't be surprised that we're having 90 degree next month. But for now, it feels good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm happy that the weather isn't too crazy today, because there has been a lot of craziness on the sports side of things, and specifically college sports. We talked last week about conference realignment, and we were each looking forward to talking about a different topic today, but it has been kind of full tilt nonstop since we last chatted. Let me catch up everybody on what's been going on today. So in the last 72 hours, the Pac-12 seems to be potentially on its deathbed. That is the conference of a lot of teams out west, and they have had a lot of teams leave. The most recent reported departures are Oregon and Washington, who are set to get approval from the Big Ten in the next couple of days to join their conference. They would follow USC and UCLA, who earned approval last year to leave the Pac-12 and join the Big Ten in 2024. So that would push the Big Ten to 18 schools. And we're seeing with those departures even more come. Arizona has reportedly gotten approval to join the Big 12 conference, although that's not yet finalized. Arizona State and Utah are looking to join the Big 12 as well, according to the most recent reports. And they would all be following Colorado, who just left the Pac-12 last week to move back into the Big 12. And Deb, all of this is happening because of the Pac-12's expiring television deal that's coming up at the end of this academic year and sports season. Their games are currently on Fox, but they don't have any broadcast rights nailed down with a new partner, meaning that all of these schools are bailing and leaving without having to pay an exit fee. And because of that, because of the lack of a TV deal, leads me to ask, I think, the question that's on everybody's minds: is this it for the historic Pac-12? Is this going to be the end of a Power Five conference?
No doubt. But there's so much to discuss here and unpack here. Where do I begin? My first thought is perspective. Whose lens are you wearing? For some people, it's fan perspective. For others, it's the athletes. And for others, it's the administrators, as in the folks who make all this happen. And so if you are a fan, if you're an administrator, you probably are Googling, or you've already created a map of this conference realignment, who's going where, and got the arrows flying all different directions. If you're the athlete, You're pretty much, and again, you are actually signed and enrolled at a university, not the recruits. But if you're currently at a school, the coaches, the administrators are telling you, don't even think about this. Regardless, you're going to put on that jersey that represents our university, and we're going to try our best to go back to the original reason why we have the NCAA, why we have conferences. It's about providing you an opportunity and making sure that you have a safe, healthy environment. And so with that being said, I think number one, we have to be mindful that this is all about capitalism. It's all about money. We also have to look at the college sport in its current status, its current setup, that it is broken. This business model does not work. Amateurism is really a joke now. People are chasing the dollars, in particular, the universities, the conferences, the NCAA. They want more money. And so the question is, where do you get the money? And right now, people are looking at, you know, the contracts that they've signed to be a part of a conference. When is the best time to get out? I don't know if people are aware, but Florida State has started negotiations with J.P. Morgan, as in, let's go to Wall Street. Let's do something that has been common in pro sports, as in, let's use private equity. For those not familiar with that, the idea is that you take your commercial rights, and basically that's all a college university has in terms of sports. Take your commercial rights, put it into a new company, and then that private equity firm will invest in that entity. And that's what's happening in pro sports and sports all across the world. You get the private dollars involved in this. And perhaps that's what's next, because as much as I believe it's just noise, what Florida State is doing in terms of their interest in moving away from the ACC, they need money to make this happen. And I don't believe they have the funding currently, so they have to go raise money.
Yeah.
So I'll pause there because there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah. To put a cap on the FSU side of things, the ACC's current television rights, which is kind of the main, you know, that is what is driving all of these moves, is the money that can come from these broadcast rights. That is locked down for ACC schools through 2036, and it's lower than I think many schools would like, but that is providing some stability. I do want to get back to that if we have time, but you mentioned, you know, the athletes are thinking, well, the focus for the athletes is still going to be the opponents on their schedule, who's in front of them, and performing on the court field, whatever their playing field is. But I have to imagine that they're also looking at this and thinking about how it's going to degrade their experience. Not necessarily football, because it's so clear that these decisions are being made with football in mind, but I'm thinking of the Olympic sports, Deb, because there's also reports from The Athletic, you know, UCLA and USC have been set to join the Big Ten for about a year now, so they've had time to talk about what they're going to do, but those are two schools out in California talking about having to travel to potentially all the way to Maryland and New Jersey to play games regularly for Olympic teams, non-revenue teams. And as a cost-cutting measure, I mean, they're talking about letting teams from the different schools maybe share a commercial flight or share charter buses when they're traveling to different states, which just seems absurd to me. So I don't know, what effects do you think this will have on the non-football programs? Because we all know that football is king, but the other Olympic sport athletes are very much going to be caught in the crosshairs of this.
I'm very biased because of my age. You know, when I played at Virginia, which was very similar to all the other ACC schools, we were, you know, the elite programs, you know, playing in the ACC. But we were happy to get one, maybe two pairs of shoes. We were happy to get a sweatsuit that you could even keep at the end of the year. And so when I think about what is going to happen with the Division I elite programs, the schools that are considering conference realignment, I don't think it's going to change much at all. Maybe all these programs have money. We're talking about universities that spend more than anywhere from $80 to $175 million on sports. And so in terms of taking a long flight for their age, they're excited to do that. It wasn't until my senior year that I started to get tired of packing up, getting on an airplane and flying to a game and going to a similar type of hotel, whether it was a Marriott, the Holiday Inns or whatever. It was my senior year. But when you're 17 to 21 years old, you're excited to go across the country. However, I do believe with now having conferences with more than 16 teams, 18 teams, maybe 20 teams, they will regionalize this. They won't have the athletes going all the way across the country. They'll regionalize the games. They'll try to emphasize rivalries because that is very, very important right now. But I think the athlete experience for Olympic sports will still be strong and quite possibly with the emphasis on rivalries will actually get more television spots for these big rivalry games with the Olympic sports. But at that age, you're excited to do all this. You're excited to receive all this stuff. Now, football, men's basketball, we all know the commercialization and exploitation. A lot of these young men are receiving more money in high school than they'll ever receive in college. And I'm talking about your super, super elite players. They're being paid underneath the table, whether it's through the agents, whether it's through their marketing persons, whether it's through the school, the shoe companies. So for them, you might see, they might take a look at it a little differently, but Alabama's going to be Alabama. LSU's going to be LSU. Ohio State's going to be Ohio State, and they're going to take care of their athletes.
Once again, we're speaking with Dr. Deborah Stroman. I'm happy that you mentioned the regionalism because that's the other part that comes to mind for me. I still struggle, and again, these deals are being made because the schools specifically are chasing the television rights that are the strongest when it comes to the conferences. And the Big Ten and Big 12 have said essentially we're open for business, and they also have the strongest TV rights deals that pay the best for those schools. But in my mind, you know, Big 12, that's a Midwest conference. Big 10, that's a Northeast and Midwest conference as well. And now they're adding schools from the West Coast as the Pac-12 gets eaten up. It just absolutely kills the regionalism that we're used to. And I think that's me speaking from the perspective of being following a team that's in the Atlantic Coast Conference. But you know, it does certainly feel like college sports has been moving further and further away from the regional rivalry and more just for what brands can we have match up. So is no regionalism, because that seems to be where this is going, unless, as you said, there's a super conference that they're able to easily split up. Do you think no regionalism could potentially lead to the college sports, you know, just being completely unrecognizable for us? Or have we already kind of just gotten to that point and it's just been so slow up until now that we haven't fully realized it?
I truly believe the train is down the track. And so now it's just a matter of time before we become the Super League, like some countries, where you just have one massive group of schools competing, and all the others will form their own league or stay with the NCAA. There's another league. There's another governing body that's going to happen because, again, of capitalism. You know, I scratch my head and say, okay, Florida State or whatever school, you know, you want the additional $30 million, you want the additional $50 million. Is that really going to give you an advantage? Is that going to help you increase your win rate? You know, Clemson and Florida State are being dangled by the media as the most attractive programs because of their football strength. But right now they have a 50% chance pretty much over the past decade of being number one or number two in the ACC. If you are invited, which is not a sure thing, if you're invited by the Big Ten or the SEC to go into these conferences, your win rate just drops significantly. So are they willing to give all that up? And with those additional dollars, where will they go? I mean, what will they do with that money? How will they be smart? I mean, more toys, a bigger locker room. Now everybody gets their own personal 55-inch TV in their locker room stall. You know, how many game rooms can you create? How many uniforms can you wear? I mean, Oregon has proven, you know, with the Nike money in Oregon, you know, the new facilities, the new swag, but that's not winning them national championships. So it's really insane what's going on. But again, this is United States. We're capitalists, and it's showing up in college sports. Another thing to note with this is that historically, with this realignment, it's about getting the numbers, as in cable TV, remember the bundles and getting subscribers. That's old school now. Now it's about how many eyeballs. Who can you get to come to the game, and how long can you keep them there? And so when we look at the Big Ten and the SEC, their viewership in conference is off the chart. Ohio State and Michigan was the top viewed game, 17.1 million viewers. SEC, Tennessee at Georgia, 13.06 million viewers. For us, the ACC, our biggest game was NC State at Clemson with 4.98 million. So this is what the ABC, Fox, CBS, and now they're talking about Netflix, Apple, Amazon. They want viewers. And so what type of rivalries can we double down on? What can we do to get more people in our so-called footprint from Boston to Florida to pay more attention, to go to games? This is intriguing. It's a case study for sport business, sport management. And we got to pay attention to this, because this realignment is not going to end.
No, it's not. And I think people will not be able to not pay attention to it. But my concern, and I think a lot of other just like college sports fans' concerns down the road, is just it's not going to feel the same, because you won't you won't be rooting for these, I mean, let alone for players that you recognize and maybe know, but then you won't be rooting against the same teams' rivalries. And again, it goes back to the regionalism side. I want to end just with
I'm still in pain about losing Maryland.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I want to read a tweet here, I should say, from Roger Sherman, who's a writer at The Ringer. I feel like this sums up my feelings well, Deb, and I want to get your reaction. He wrote today, "The people in charge of college sports have spent the last 20 years blaming teens for professionalizing college sports by asking for money, while simultaneously killing off the rivalries that make the sport so great so they can win the war to become the junior NFL. We know that the football, again, the point here is that football is king, but there's a lot of other sports and a lot of other aspects of college sports that are getting caught up into all of this as well. I'm afraid that's all the time we've got for today. But as you said, Deb, this is going to be a never-ending topic over the next months and years. So look forward to chatting with you more as this realignment stuff continues to develop and swell.
No doubt. I know that Carolina is an attractive property to have. I'm glad right now Bubba is pushing back and saying we're strong and we believe in the ACC.
Yeah. No doubt that the ACC is kind of stuck where it is, and we'll see how that affects the Tar Heels as all of this chaos continues beyond the ACC. Deb, in the meantime, enjoy your weekend and look forward to talking with you again next week.
Thank you. Go Heels.